It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
All right, you are back and tuned to a Friday Rave on Community Radio 3CR. I'm back with you in the Friday Rave HQ studio today, not down at Smith Street, because it's a bit earlier on Friday afternoon today. And sorry I missed last week. Thanks to Jake for taking the reins.
It was strange being back in the studio.
Yeah, but back again this week and back at it. And I mean, it's been a week, and Jake, I think you wanted to start off with
what a week. Look, I've been thinking about children lately, because we've got these the Israeli government making these laws that's going to make it possible to execute Palestinian children for the crime of being Palestinian, quite frankly. I mean, it might be for throwing rocks or whatever, but it's for the crime of being Palestinian.
Well, I mean, they've executed tens of thousands of Palestinian children in Gaza, but now it's this executive power law that they've just brought through the Knesset.
Yeah. I mean, this is, and they kill children all the time in Gaza and the West Bank. But I don't want to say that this is strictly limited to Israel. It happens. You know, look at the United States, for example. I mean, shooting kids in school has almost become a national sport.
Mm.
You look at all the US papers, and there's like, I remember when I was a kid, there used to be the death toll from the roads, the road toll, printed in the top corner of the newspaper. They've almost got a school shooting toll. It's, right. You know, this is the way we treat children.
Well, and I think ASIO, the new ASIO laws for detaining and questioning that have just been passed through the House of Reps, I think, that's, you know, to detain and question a child as young as 14.
That's right.
Also remembering that ASIO groomed a 14-year-old autistic kid.
That's right.
Only a few years ago. I mean, in this country,
that's what they do.
The age of criminal responsibility is 10 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it got raised to 14 maybe in Canberra, I think. But 10 years old.
10 years old. Absolutely disgusting. You think, I want to talk to a minute for anybody who's ever held a child, a toddler, a newborn baby, whatever, because I've held a few in my life. I've had a couple. And you think, every kid, whether they're, I remember being in the Philippines in the 80s and seeing the kids playing on Smoky Mountain rubbish dump and thinking, how can they possibly be playing and laughing and smiling and joyous? And this is the nature of children.
Mm.
It's the nature of children. Every kid is like that, every young child. And what happens to them? And I want to come back from the kids in Palestine and the school shootings in the US and the kids who were killed in Iran and the ones who will be questioned by ASIO and all the rest of it. And think of one child born some years ago, 1978, I think, in Western Australia, to a rather well-to-do family. Like any kid, it's hard to think, looking at him now, but he was once a kid sitting in the backyard in his mum's lap, smiling because of the wind on his face. And they take this kid and they send him to school and they tell him he's the best and they send him to the best school in Perth, the Hale School. And then he gets a reputation. He starts at the school, at a posh private school, bullying other children. And then he plays sport. And then he goes through all the levels every time, being told he's the best, he's the best, he's the best, and he's untouchable. And he's the creme de la creme until eventually, he joins the Australian Defence Force. He becomes an elite soldier, becomes our most specialised soldier. His uniform is at the War Memorial. And then, what is it, 40 years after?
And his photoshopped photo.
What's that?
And a photoshopped photo of him.
Yeah. He's tried for war crimes. And look, I almost, it's People are going to be surprised to hear me say this, but I almost feel sorry for the prick.
I don't.
No, I said almost. I said almost. I mean, how can you take a kid and treat him like this all his life, tell him that no matter what he does, we will get you out of it. We've got your back. You can assault kids. You can intimidate kids in the playground. You can treat people, your friends, girlfriends, whatever, like shit, and we'll have your back. We will send you to one of the most gruesome wars that we had at the start of the 20th century in Afghanistan, and we will give you carte blanche to be a killing machine, to brutalise people. I mean, we just had a story a couple of weeks ago in the Nightly, and I referred to it, I think, last week, about the, what did they call it, the interrogation training, where they teach people how to not, what's the word? I'm trying to think of the word. RTI training, they call it. To not give out information under interrogation, and they put them in stress positions. They make noises, lights. They don't let them move, and they go mad. Many of them go mad, and they leave. This bloke, and of course, yes, we're talking about Ben Robert Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when we're talking about Ben Robert Smith, it's not just Ben Robert Smith, it's all of them. And it's not just them, it's in Afghanistan. It's then they come back, we're talking about Zachary Rolfe.
Yeah.
Who, you know, is peas in a pod with Robert Smith. In fact, if I remember correctly, Zachary Rolfe's mum was one of Robert Smith's character references.
Mm.
Who you know, said something like, he's a gentleman who would never hurt a woman, you know.
Well,
said,
Rolf was a mentee of Ben Robert Smith, essentially. Know. That's how I think his mum, Rolf's mum, sort of referred to it and said that they had a, you know, a close relationship. And
could you imagine that? He's a nice lad and wouldn't hurt a woman, said my best mate's mum. I mean, it's ridiculous. These are the same people. You take this bloke
and from the same division, I think, and you know, I know you mentioned it last week, but from the same division of 90 of the SAS, 90 of which have now been deployed to the war on Iran. And and I think that you're right in saying, like, this is what the government, the Australian Defence Force, the generals, the heads, the top brass, this is exactly what they train people to do.
Yes.
Of course, they send people overseas to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to Iran. Wars are about killing people.
That's all they are.
They are trained to kill people. And I think that, you know, we were chatting a bit earlier and I wish we kind of had recorded it, but we were talking about that the government and the ADF had given Robert Smith authorization to murder. You know, this is what deployment in Iraq and Afghanistan results in, is murder. But it's just gone a little bit too far outside the remit of how the Australian government think that it's okay to murder someone.
Yes. Yeah. And they train them to. And through things like their resistance to interrogation, that's what it's called, the RTI, training. What they do is they weed out the weak, and I hope you can hear the air quotes when I say that, the people who can't survive being in a stress position, unable to move for more than 24 hours while listening to the sounds of crying children. They end up with your Ben Robert Smith, all right, who's been, the biography about him, the way he was at school and intimidating younger kids in him and smaller kids in him, probably tells me that not only was he not perturbed by the sounds of crying children, it probably gave him a hard-on. Yeah. You know, I mean, I hate to be gross, but this is gross. The whole system is gross. And then I also want to say that remember back in 2022 when Scott Morrison said the defence was going to grow to 100,000 people, and he went on to say that we need to grow the type of people. These are the type of people he want to grow.
Mm. Yeah.
He said quite rightly, you can't just flick a switch to increase your Army, Navy and Air Force overnight. Of course you can't. You can't just flick a switch and expect to have people who can do the things Ben Robert Smith do. You need to grow them.
Mm.
And this is what disgusts me.
Yeah.
You got the list there of what his allegations are?
So Ben Robert Smith was arrested, you know, quite publicly coming off a plane in Brisbane just on the 7th, I think. A few days ago. Coming off a plane in Brisbane. I think it was either 7 or 9 News already had the tip off and were there with cameras waiting to get the footage. But he's been charged with 5 charges under the criminal code pertaining to 3 separate offence dates. So the offence date on the 12th of April 2009, the first charge is war crime murder, and the second charge for that same offence date is aid, abet, counsel or procure a war crime murder. Another is 11th of September 2012 is the offence date for aid, abet, counsel or procure war crime murder, and then following that is the offence date of the same dates, the 20th of October 2012, 2 charges, jointly commit a war crime for murder and aid, abet, counsel or procure a war crime murder.
Yes.
So 5 charges, all carrying maximum penalties of life imprisonment for 3 separate accounts between 2000 offences between 2009 and 2012. And I think while we're talking about this, I think that the AFP and the Office of the Special Investigator, yeah. I think, have been doing investigating war crimes in Afghanistan. But I think that there was, you might have it in front of you, there is also another person up for trial in February in New South Wales Supreme Court.
Yeah, I haven't. I should have had. Sorry about that.
People. No, that's all right. But I think when you were just talking about growing the type of people, you know, it's very correct. This is what Scott Morrison talked about. This is the type of thing we talked about. And I think that it's not just about soldiers. I mean, we know the recruitment drive and everything like that, but also with the changing nature, it's like growing the type of people is also the increasing of militarization in schools and universities and STEM programs that is normalizing the war machine. Because at the same time, we've talked about soldiers as being, you know, a few weeks ago as being like an operational bottleneck.
Yep.
To what's happening. It's still a necessity, and they're still training these people because, you know, the Australian Defence Force and the Australian military still want people who can do the most depraved and disgusting things, but they just don't want people to find out that that's what they do.
Yes,
and I think that it is also would be important to note here, and that's about the authorization. When we were chatting a bit earlier about authorization and what, you know, the top brass in the military authorized Ben Robert Smith to do. Of course, it was go and murder, maim, do anything that was required.
Yep.
for the outcomes of the operation.
And the Australian military have often boasted, and, you know, again, the air quotes, they punch above their weight.
Mm.
And this is what they mean. They're willing to do things that even, you know, I remember during the Iraq War, the Australian SAS were brought in to places where the British SAS, hardly a bastion of morality, where the British SAS refused to serve because they didn't want to commit war crimes.
Mm.
So they brought the Australian SAS in.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot about a country that was founded on a genocide, doesn't it?
It does, rather. And I've got to say, just a very brief in part of this, all this investigation into war crimes, you know, the Brereton Report and all that, a big part of it, a large part of it, was kicked off by David McBride, a military lawyer who is currently, you know, while Ben Robert Smith has for years been gallivanting around the country and is now finally maybe going to face the consequences of his murderous actions. We've got David McBride sitting in prison for releasing the information that kicked off these investigations.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Like, it's such bullshit. But I think we were talking about the authorization. Also, I think on the same day that Robert Smith was arrested, actually. I mean, I think we should get back to David McBride and the role of whistleblowers in that, despite...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we might circle back to that in a moment. But on the same day that Robert Smith was arrested, there was an Army reservist arrested in Adelaide by the AFP for serving in a foreign military without authorization. That foreign military being as that he's charged with being a drone operator in Ukraine.
Yep.
In 2025, going to Ukraine. And I think that the key word in that is without authorization. And so it's not the issue that he's been charged under what's Section 115A of the Defence Act. Excuse me. You might be able to hear I'm a bit crook today, sorry.
Yeah.
But so what is required to serve in a foreign work in a foreign military organization, rather, is it's required that anyone, if you wish to, that you give in writing, a request to go and work for a foreign military.
Yeah.
And so what this fella has been charged with is going to do it without authorization. And so it's not that he's going to work for a foreign military, but he just didn't get the stamp of approval and is not authorized to do so. And I guess when we talk about Ben Robert, you know, this might be a bit of a rant, but Ben Robert Smith had the stamp of approval and the authorization to go to Afghanistan, do what needed to be done, in air quotations again. And so he had that authorization to do essentially whatever the hell he wanted to see, to carry out whatever the aims were. But now it's just been McBride is in prison for bringing to light that maybe he went a little bit too far, but had that not come out, would it be okay? We don't know. That's a hypothetical.
It's still of his uniform on a stamp.
Yep. And so without authorization in terms of this person going to fly a drone in, allegedly operating a drone in the Ukraine,
yep,
does the authorization mean that all of those dual citizens in Israel that have gone to fight with the IDF?
Well, there's the question.
Are they given authorization? And I think that authorization shows what the role of the government and the top brass is here, is that having, as we spoke about, not on air, but the monopoly of violence is that power to authorize and to say, yes, you can do this, no, you cannot do that. And so torture, murder, rape, all of the depraved things that happened which uphold that monopoly of violence is actually what the state authorizes, but it's not about what it can and can't authorize. It's about that it maintains its power to do so, irrespective of what the mechanisms to uphold that power are.
Exactly. And Ben Robert Smith and the other bloke, who's Oliver Schultz, just by the way, I looked it up.
Is that the New South Wales, the one that's going on trial in February?
The one that's going in trial in February. He got done. He got done for commanding for asking his do you want me to drop this C... It just says in the report, so I don't know what that's supposed to mean. But yeah, before allegedly firing 3 shots at close range while he was lying on his back with raised knees and outstretched hands, one holding prayer beads. Ooh. I mean, that's... And we ought to go into, I wouldn't mind, just, it's a trigger, I have to give a trigger warning, sorry, I should have given a trigger warning when I said that, because we can talk about a couple of hundred kids being killed in Iran in a girls' school, we can talk about children's bodies and limbs, we can talk about the story of a Palestinian woman we spoke about some months ago, who found parts of his child, all right? Parts of his child. And we can say that with impunity. But to say, do you want me to drop this, whatever, or to talk about the way Ben Robert Smith actually kicks a bloke and then...
And a kid.
While they're kneeling. Kicked him over a cliff or something from memory, didn't he? And then they, you know, a disabled man with a prosthetic limb. And then they take his prosthetic leg and drink a toast of alcohol out of it. I mean, these guys are, you know, you could not create a Bond villain as bad as these guys.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think
the content warning is correct. You know, it's like we hear about these individual accounts that are just make you feel sick to the stomach. But every one of the numbers that we talk about is someone who's experienced something like that at the hands of the violence of people worse than Bond villains. You know, depraved psychotic murderers.
That's who we turned them into psychotic murderers. And I think when I said earlier I almost feel sorry for this guy, I don't obviously feel sorry for him, but I guess what I'm saying is the problem I don't want us to fall into is talking about Oliver Sulz and Ben Robert Smith and Zachary Rolfe and all the others who haven't come to light yet as bad apples.
Mm.
All right? This is it. We're saying, oh, they went over there and they did these things without authorization and we didn't tell them to do this. That's bullshit. That's why we sent them over there. That's how we trained them. We turned them into these people. From the time Ben Robert Smith was 6 years old and probably hit a 5-year-old in the head in kindergarten. That's how we train these people.
That's what they are trained to do. And so I think that's, it's not a bad apple situation or it's no. Like this is structural.
It's the whole damn basket that's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. What do you reckon? We've got about 22 minutes left.
22 minutes left?
Oh, sorry, 22 minutes in.
Oh,
told
right.
Her I'm a bit more today.
So that means we've got a couple of minutes left. I think we ought to just talk about authorization. And we mentioned it before, but we'll mention it again, that there are tax-deductible charities in Australia, like the United Israel Appeal, that send money to help young Australian soldiers. Young Australians, I'm talking 18, 19-year-olds. Mm. You know, I mean, I got kids older than that. And I wouldn't trust them with a gun. To go over to Israel and fight for the IDF. And these charities receive tax-deductible donations. In 2024 alone, United Israel Appeal raised $50 million to help Australians go over and fight and kill Palestinians and Lebanese and Yemenis.
Well, on Lebanon, I mean, Penny Wong, obviously the ceasefire agreement has come in, and I think maybe we'll talk about that next week because I don't think we're going to have too much time to go into it today. But that... Penny Wong released a joint statement on the protection of aid workers in Lebanon, as if the Australian government cares about aid workers.
Oh, it's like, what's your name?
Zomi Francom. Yeah. We call for an urgent end to hostilities in Lebanon and from the effects of hostilities, as if Israel is not sending fucking evacuation orders and bombing the shit out of Lebanon.
Yeah, I know. And just like we said with Robert Smith and Zachary Rolfe, because let's not leave that guy out of it, we're not allowed to call him a murderer, so we won't. Just like that, a lot of these recruits also went to elite private schools, Jewish-based faith schools all around the country, where they're, prayed upon by the IDF recruiters and sent over by your tax dollars, people, to kill Palestinian children. So I want to leave you with that. I want to leave you with that thought of any one of you who's ever held a child in their arms. What are we doing to them? How are you going to raise them?
Whoever invented the fish finger ought to be transmogrified, skinned, mashed and boxed into uniform blocks, then covered in breadcrumbs from collar to socks, and frozen and finally fried. Because who'd do that to a fish finning its way through the seas? Colours in harmony, perfectly poised, riding its flying trapeze. And progress is all very well, but not when it chops up our dreams. And it's hard to feel at ease in the world when nothing is what it seems. Whoever invented the Daily Mail ought to be cut down to size, pulped and reduced to a nauseous juice, and dried out and flattened till ready for use, then covered with newsprint and lies. Because who'd do that to a tree, raising its head to the sky, rooted in centuries, telling tall tales, breathing a green lullaby? And progress is all very well, but not when it chops down our dreams. And it's hard to feel at ease in the world when nothing is what it seems. Whoever invented the policeman ought to be licked into shape, toughened and trained till the body's a cane, till the arms are a chain, till the nerves feel no pain, till obedience rules and encircles the brain with walls, so he'll never escape. Because who'd do that to a child, jumping with joy and desire, floating in fantasies, drowning in dreams, brimming with feelings of fire? And progress is all very well, but not when it locks up our dreams. And it's hard to feel at ease in the world when nothing is what it seems.